loving, a little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. If we have time permitting, we'll get to any remaining text. But joining us now, very pleased to have my next guest on, friend of the program, running for the 1st Congressional District Republican nomination set for March of next year, but currently represents the 2nd Congressional District of Alabama. Congressman Barry Moore is with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. I am doing good. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Doing well. Well, we'll kick it off here. How acquainted with the coastal region of Southwest Alabama have you been becoming?
Well, very acquainted. You know, of course, my home is now in the district, and so 7 of the 9 counties already had some representation, a vast majority of representation. So we had to add, half of Mobile County and all of Baldwin. But so far, I've been down to the gumbo festivals. I'm doing Christmas parades down that way. And my wife is certainly traveling a lot. You know, Heather and I are kind of two for the price of one. So she's making the rounds while I'm in D.C. taking care of the American people's business. But so far, so good, Jeff. We are learning our way around. We're really enjoying it. And we already had some pretty good support down there. And, of course, I've done your show a lot in the past. I think that has helped people get to know us, even when we didn't necessarily live in the district or wasn't part of our district. Because, you know, I remind people all the time, I represent 15 counties right now, and I treat them all the same. If you call my office, we take care of you. We don't care if you're from Coffee County or at that time Autauga. It didn't matter to us. So we serve the people. We represent the entire state and the nation in some form or fashion.
Well, and tell me this. I mean, this is obviously going to be very contentious between you and Congressman Carl, but you look at it right now, you really, I guess, that's going to come eventually. For now, you're just trying, I assume, to build up some name recognition in parts of the newly drawn district that maybe don't. Is that kind of the goal here?
Yeah, but I don't really think it's going to be contentious, Jeff. I think that Jerry's a nice guy, and I'm a nice guy. And, you know, traditionally, Heather and I have never ran negative ads. We just don't believe in that. We think that the people want to know about our record. And so, you know, man, I'm going to run on our record. I'm the only member in the House Freedom Caucus from Alabama. According to the Center for Effective Lawmaking, my freshman year, we were the most effective Republican congressman from Alabama, and we were new there. And we've only gotten better. And so I think we just run on our record, brother. We tell people what we've done. My voting record is the most conservative according to CPAC. And so, for all the members of Alabama and last year. And so, you know, look, we don't have to make this personal. We just let the people make a choice. And for us, it's just this is who we are. We're called to this fight. We've been in this fight. We're conservatives by nature. And I don't violate my convictions. And I think that's what you run on, my friend. You don't have to go after the individuals. If you do, that means you've lost the argument already, in my opinion.
Well, I guess when I say contentious, I guess more appropriate would be competitive. But let me ask you this. Do you think the key is
competitive? That's fair.
Do you think the key is portraying yourself as the most conservative option on the ballot? Do you think that is the path here? Because, I mean, I some Republicans don't necessarily see that as a virtue, but for the sake of this district, that is the way you got to go, you think?
Well, usually in a Republican primary, people try to run to the right of each other. But if you look at this new district, District 1, that was another reason Heather and I made the decision to run, is because it went from the 75th most conservative district to the 6th most conservative district in the nation. And when you got a member who's House Freedom Caucus, who's got the most conservative voting record, that's a people, that's a group that that I can represent. And and granted, there'll be some people that are more moderate than me in that delegation or in that group, but I think we have proven more than anything that not only can you be conservative, but you can be effective. We came second in the nation in constituent services last year. We solved almost 4,000 cases, got veterans $10 million back. And so to say that you can't be conservative and you can't run as a conservative in a primary, people always do, but I've been conservative since the day I graduated elementary school, and certainly since I started the business, that, hey, you know, this is who I am. And so, granted, this district now, Jeff, is going to be so much more conservative. I think we just run on our record and let the people make a choice.
Well, how do you define conservative? Because I think sometimes right now, at least the way the media that's very hostile to conservatism, they try to conflate a stylistic approach to a whatever your substantive approach is. But when you say you're conservative, what how do you define that exactly?
I think it's just the values of liberty. I think my number one job in Congress, and I think it should be all our job, is to protect people's freedom and liberty, their choices. And every time we spend money up here, we don't have that limit choices for future generations because they have to raise taxes or we print money. So it starts limiting their ability to spend. But not only that, to speak the truth, to worship how they want to make a decision whether they want a vaccine or not. Those kind of ideas, the allow the people to keep their guns and to protect their own homes and their own property. That is core of who we are in Alabama, certainly this new district and who I am. And so for me, liberty and freedom, Jeff, I think that has to be the number one perspective. And certainly our faith drives our decisions in the process. But to me, that defines conservative. How do I protect your freedom and liberty? And look, I get, man, I'm a veteran. I'll be the only veteran in the Alabama delegation as it stands right now. I am. So I understand investment in defense, and I understand investment in infrastructure to grow jobs. I don't understand sending $40 billion to Ukraine. Those are the kind of things that don't make sense for the American people, and putting American people first. I think those are things that you just run on. You've got a record to run on. Run on your record, and I think it bodes well for us.
Well, let's talk about that aspect of it, because there is a historic sort of precedent in Alabama where you send a member of Congress to Washington, D.C., and the expectation is, and I think it's changed a little bit, but we could go back 40, 50 years, and you're up there to bring home as much federal money to really be a breadwinner for your district. And, you know, like how much of that is, you know, in your sort of mission statement as a member of Congress, you think?
I think people in America have to make a choice, Jeff. I mean, it's either we can bring home the bacon or we can save the nation, but you cannot do both at the very same time. And so we're seeing with the runaway spending, we saw what the left did with Pelosi and Schumer and Biden, how inflation is just crushing the American people and you know, anything they can do to shut down the American economy. And for me, it's like, you know, we can have substantive debate and we can invest in things that matter, like infrastructure that grows jobs. Look, when I was in the state legislature, we opened up Alabama in 2010 and made it one of the most business-friendly nations, states in the nation. And so because we did that, job creation has been good. And now Alabama's third or fourth in research. We're number one in aviation or production of commercial airliners. And heck, we're third or fourth on automotive production. That all came as a result of reducing taxes and regulations and allowing the economy to correct itself and allow this economy to create jobs. All about that, my friend. But when I'm printing money in D.C. just to buy votes, that will destroy a nation. So the voters have to make a decision at this point, as we all do. Do we change course, or do we continue down this path of $33 trillion in debt and no appropriation bills in 27 years or 26 years now? So we've got to make decisions. And as individual Americans, you can either have the balance of the budget, Barry, which is who I am, or you can bring home bacon, Barry. But that's not my game, my friend. I'm in this thing to fix this nation and correct it. We've got kids and grandkids that we owe it to not to leave them burdened with this huge bureaucracy in D.C. And so, look, cutting spending is, in there are ways we can spend money wisely, Jeff, that can help fix the economy. But the way they've been doing it for the last few years is not the solution.
Well, how do you and like, obviously, it's a very honorable position, I think, and a lot of people, it resonates with a lot of, at least my audience, but you're one of 435. How do you get your Republican majority to adopt that same philosophy? I mean, like you say, look, you know, let's tap the brakes on some of the pork and let's really look at trying to clean our fiscal house up here and be what, you know, what Republicans had historically been, or at least have been advertised to be.
Yes, I think what you're seeing, I think we're already seeing that, Jeff, since Trump was elected, about 70% of our delegation is new. And I mentioned, the Republicans are new since Trump was elected. And I mentioned that on your show before. But our House Freedom Caucus numbers have grown. And I'm a member of that group. And so that's why you see such contentious debates behind the scenes, Jeff, because McCarthy was not a rubber stamp anymore. And Mike Johnson had to really work to get there, you know. And to me, It's because there's a new element of representation from across the country. It's people who are just willing to go serve. This is not a career for us. And we're saying, hey, we're in this fight because the nation is worth defending and it's worth fighting for. And so for me, I think we're seeing that. It's not, and you got to speak truth to power. Look, you get up here, K Street, and the lobbyists and the appropriators and the Ways and Means guys, I mean, they want to keep spending money as always, and they work in the Juno Party up here, and nothing ever gets fixed in D.C. And so, but I think the voters, the people are waking up, and that's why I think you, I may have mentioned this before. I mean, there's a massive humanity out there, Jeff, that want conservative leadership. They shut down Bud Light for that very reason. They took Oliver, you know, Oliver Anthony's song, Rich Men North of Richmond, to number one, because they're like, we are tired of business as usual, the way this thing has been done. And so we've just got to elect people who are willing to stand. And I think the record proves that we've stood and will continue to stand no matter the pressure that's brought to bear. We're going to stand for America's freedom and for liberty. And so people just got to make wise choices, and they need to know who they're voting for.
Now, I know I ask you this whenever you come on, but then you're focused on your own race here, but growing the ranks of the House Freedom Caucus is a big part of a lot of what you're espousing here. What does that look like right now? Do you feel like the House Freedom Caucus with Jim Jordan and that crowd is doing this, that we're going to see maybe the ranks grow and have more influence within the Republican caucus?
Yeah, I have to think so. I mean, used to money could win these races every time, but to me now it seems like it's more about the individual candidate and how they stand. And social media has allowed, in some ways, of course, they took my Twitter down after they took Trump's down, but social media has allowed us to message in many ways, you know, that, hey, there's options out there, and it's just not who's got the most money or who's the next rubber stamp for D.C. And so I think we continue. Like, I've got a leadership fund. I help other conservatives around the country run. I try to donate to their efforts and try to get people in here that will actually vote their convictions, their platform, rather than just say one thing while you're running, run a few ads, and then it's all milquetoast Republicans and uniparty people that we get here. It's changing, Jeff, and I'm encouraged by that. Of course, we need more of us. I mean, there's 40 of us now out of 435, but we have been able, because of the slim majority the Republicans have, to pull the entire conference to the right. I've experienced that on votes on the floor, where I've had members come up to me and say, if you'll vote this way, then we can vote this way. And I'll be like, no, this, I'm going to vote my convictions. You can vote with me or not. You know, you explain your vote, I'll explain mine. And that's how we do it.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. He's running for the Republican nomination in the 1st Congressional District, which is roughly half of our listing area here. Congressman, I've been kind of big on this lately, talking about pro-life, pro-choice issues. And I mean, this is my observation that you got some Republican voices out there who I think are getting a little wobbly on this, that we need as Republicans to be more open to softening our stance on abortion to in order to curry favor with some voters and win more elections. I think it's very dangerous when you start compromising your morals for political gain. You're watching this, you're up there, you see the talking points. What do you make of where Republicans ought to be on pro-life versus pro-choice?
Well, I mean, there is a line in the sand, and we simply do not cross. Whether you're currying favor with the electorate or whatever, you better stand with the creator of the universe, and you better be pro-life, brother, because that is a curse on a nation. And so we saw Roe v. Wade overturned. And look, Jeff, you know, there are certain things you just cannot compromise on, my friend. And we are just destroying unborn children in the womb and saying, oh, that's fine. And if it'll get us a few more votes, we might just back up a little on that position. You don't do that. You never do that. You stand that you can compromise on preferences, but on convictions, we should never walk away. We should stand and hold the line. If you're the last man standing, you stand for life. And the Lord will bless that. And I believe that he'll bless our nation as a result. And so I just don't think there should be any compromise. And by golly, if we don't get somebody's vote on count of it, if that's the issue you're running on, killing unborn children, well, heaven help you.
Well, I don't know necessarily killing unborn children, but it's like let's move the goalpost here. Let's say abortion is okay to a certain point. And really, the fundamental problem to me, Congressman, is as a society, we have never really decided, and I'm not talking about you and I, we obviously are on the same page on this, but as a society, we've never just determined whether or not that is a life in the womb after conception or whatever point you want to declare it. And our elite institutions, which I would say probably the Supreme Court, by not making that declaration, has let us down.
Oh, I would agree. I think that they need to make that declaration. And let's clarify any of the area. And sometimes, look, you know, I don't understand what these judges do. I didn't understand this redistricting. Sometimes there's just things they do that I don't understand, Jeff. But again, we know where we stand on the issue. And from a legislative branch, we've got to do our part to pass the laws that make it clear that life begins at conception. And then we'll let the courts do what they do, you know, and that's their job. But I have been certainly surprised by some of the rulings over the years. And of course, I was really, I'm going to tell you, brother, when Roe v. Wade was overturned in Washington, D.C., I was here. And, man, I honestly went to a closet in my office and got dropped on my knees and thanked the good Lord for that. Because that, to me, a 50-year battle, you know, 50 years of fighting for this, and we finally got this pro-life ruling. And, you know, politically that may hurt some people, but I'm going to tell you something, my friend, for our nation, it is a blessing. And I'm thankful we're moving in the right direction on that. And, again, I think American people are waking up as well.
Congressman, we got to leave it there. I'm sure this will be a first of hopefully many appearances between now and March 5th. But folks want to get acquainted with you and your campaign, our listening audience. How can they do so?
So they can go on Barrymore.com and U.S. Rep. Barrymore on Facebook, Republican for Congress Barrymore. There's a lot of places you can Google and find me, and don't believe everything you read, Jeff. But we do have some good websites on there that I would love for people to just get plugged in, find out who we are. Again, we're going to run on our record, my friend, and I think that that wins for us every time.
Barrymore, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.